I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Welcome back to Angel on Top, a podcast where we watch and discuss every episode of Angel, one by one, spoiler-free and in tandem with no one. Everything has changed. We're all alone. Producer Kristen, we miss you too. I'm your co-host, LaToya Ferguson, a.k.a. the dead female lead of the Buffering Verse, a.k.a. one half of the Gun Squad. Gonna be honest, folks, it's roof stoof right now. a.k.a. the Gilbert to Morgan Sullivan, a.k.a. Daddy, even if no one can remember that, a.k.a. Captain Forehead, a.k.a. even more annoying new nicknames to come.
And I'm your co-host, Morgan Ludich, a.k.a. the other dead girl one of the Buffering Verse, a.k.a. the other half of the Gun Squad. Sigh. a.k.a. the Sullivan to LaToya's Gilbert, a.k.a. Daddy, which I can say with no reservations, unlike the Gun Squad thing, a.k.a. William Bloody, a.k.a. even more annoying new nicknames to come.
And this week, we're watching Angel Season 5, Episode 16, Shells. Shells was written and directed by Stephen S. DeKnight. It aired on the WB on March 3rd, 2004.
And this is the one where Team Angel remembers they're on a Joss Whedon show and try to bring Fred back from the dead before Illyria can command her bug army to destroy the world.
Sure, you're excited for a bug army, you little freak.
Yeah, I wish I'd seen bugs.
Okay, guys, I'm about to do it. It hasn't been done in so long. Ooh. Previously on Angel.
Woo!
Yes. Fred gets the mystical dust and Lauren's sunshine and bleh, and she's hollowed out. Ah, let's save the day. It's called Illyria, the deeper well. Why can't I stay? Eyes harden. She's blue now. Thankfully, we don't have to see the Caesar. This will do. I was shocked to see, first of all, when I was using my own resources previously. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, is Hulu going to have the previouslys? Hulu had the previouslys.
Yeah,
oh,
baby.
Yeah. Which is still, it's wild to me, considering they didn't do them in season four for, like, Apocalypse Now-ish into Habeas Corpus. So you were, like, very confused with, like, the very short opening teaser. Even, like, obviously, mm-hmm. no one wants to see Connor thrusting again. But, like, in that moment, you should probably know why Angel is very upset and punching things off screen. But, yeah, it's wild.
Wild to finally get previously, as I noted it in my notes as well. I was like, for this, we finally get previously?
Doing backflips for something so tiny. But again, we've made clear how it's so important previouslys are.
Very, very, very.
It makes it feel like it's a full piece.
Yes, like actually what happened before might matter.
Yeah. Just so we all know, this episode of Angel went up against the OC episode, The Goodbye Girl, which is Anna's goodbye, which also makes me cry a lot. This was also the night, this was after Mr. Ian's last episode of Smallville.
Ooh, the country was in mourning.
Yeah. I wrote a very dumb note that I had to get it out of my head, so
I'll be the judge.
Bear with me. Give me a head with shells, long, beautiful shells. And then I wrote, is that a thing?
I'm not sure it is, but I really appreciate you sharing it with me.
Before I even watched the episode, that's just, it was in my head. I had to get it out. I'm sorry. I will
never be sorry.
I think I should be for that. It doesn't even make sense.
You can never be sorry about a song parody to me, you know? Like, I'm always the audience for that.
It makes zero sense.
It doesn't make a lot of sense, but I do want to ask, what'd you think of Shells?
So as discussed in our previous episode of Hole in the World, this continues to be the episode where I do cry. I was even like, I was crying before the song even started in the previous scene. I'm like, why am I tearing up already? It's not even happening yet. Like a Place Called Home isn't even playing yet. And I was like, Illyria got me fucked up. It was pretty poignant. So I all caps my notes. Why am I already tearing up? I have not seen this episode in years.
Hey, man, it fucking hits. Like, that fucking ending, it really does. Even though I, you know, have the problems that I've had, that I've talked about, that I will talk about.
Yeah, we'll talk about the problems, of course.
That song and that montage and just watching Fred one last time. Ugh, gutting.
Yeah. But how did you feel about this episode?
You know, very much Hole in the World Part 2. I felt... you know, and so essentially, like, my notes are going to be very much my criticisms from A Hole in the World Part 2. I, you know, same issues with Gunn, same issues with this being all about the men, although it makes more sense now that Fred is dead for it to be all about them. But, you know, it's a little complicated. You and I talked a little bit off mic about Harmony is now the Pink Ranger. She is now the girl one and is getting an upgrade as such that doesn't necessarily fully make sense.
Love Harmony. Mercedes McNabb pulls it off, but like Harmony has never had emotional intelligence until this episode.
It's weird. And just really, really grateful to see Knox get fucking killed.
Yeah. So obviously, I was not joining the weird pro Knox train you were Taylor on last episode, you freaks. But here, let me find my exact notes real quick. Sorry to make this. So I wrote in my notes. I think when they go to, you know, the location where it's the Hyperion when it's a bus station.
Yeah.
You know, that's why Fred's parents are here, because they went back to the Hyperion at the bus station. But yeah, I hate all of his bits. Like, even at the time, I felt like he was like a lesser Xander and, you know, that like Joss proxy. It's, you know how people in bad faith always say that Joss's like writing was a lot of, well, that happened. I feel like that is exactly what Knox's delivery is. And especially when Boreanaz does it so much better, like after Gunn shoots Knox and his reaction, I'm like, that's how you do it well. I feel like every... Yes. Every blow that Knox has, I'm just like, this is awful. This is like, this is atonal, and not even in a way where, like, there's always like the contrast of the drama and comedy and Josh shows. And I feel like it's just bad every time Knox does it.
Yes. There is a lot of online talk about kind of like the They Fly Now being a Joss Whedon like result. And I hugely disagree. Like that they're very, very different things that I guess could look the same on the outside to, I don't know, like someone dumb, to be honest.
To the layman, sorry to slam.
But they're very different things. And you are right. Like I will say the one Knox joke in these entire two episodes that I think genuinely works for me is something we skipped over at A Hole in the World, where they're talking about how fast they can get to England. And he's like, we can get there in 12 hours. And he goes, you can get there in 4. Pause. We have really good jets.
Like, it's the only line where he's not like smirking his way through it.
Yeah, it's like the joke has actual content to it rather than commentary of like, that's what she said. Because like, it's not just like an alley-oop on a joke that doesn't even exist.
And it's also before the reveal that he is the villain. So now the way they're playing with this, his Renfield-ness is just, and again, Xander did it better.
Xander was a way better Renfield. He ate bugs and shit. Like, I feel nothing for this man. And even his, like, the slights with Illyria being like, oh, my last Quahazan was taller and all of that stuff. Just, like, none of it is hitting for me. Like, I don't... If she doesn't
his
care
Rick
about,
Springfield
like,
screensaver, like, what...
What does that even mean, too? Is that another, like, weird gay panic joke? I could not even tell.
It's very, I don't get it. I don't know what the intent was. I'm going to probably rant, but like part of the story, again, to get to the good stuff of this season, the second half is, again, like it's tighter now, but like the places where it's loose are because the first half of the season were so loose and it wasn't like it was just kind of like a mess of things to the point where when he brings up to Illyria how he was 11 and reading the Forbidden Text, like, this guy has been evil, evil for a very, very long time. And this episode is just like, Lorne must have missed it when he read him. There is no, like, he used something, did a whammy. It was just, I was distracted. Like, if you give the story of Lorne, like, the glitz and glamour is affecting him to the point he's, like, off his game. That's a story you tell, and then it makes sense. They just had the life of the party, and that's that, and no other character, like, development.
Nothing.
There's so... I'm just like, here's how I would have fixed it. Like, complete, like, just writing on my walls. Like, I am Fred Absolutely. Burkle, and here's how I fix season 5 of Angel. And it's very presumptuous of me, I know, but it's just, like... The issues we have are because of the way it was so loosely written. And just for the tightening up of the show, I will say based on an interview, I remember like one of the ones I referenced for Christian Kane, they officially found out the show was canceled while filming the episode after this one. So everything is officially pivoting for an end game starting there.
Gotcha. Okay, that's really good to know.
And because they were hoping for a season 6 with this. Yes. But honestly, I've read a good portion of the Angel season 6 comics. I'm happy they didn't get a season 6 because Angel season 6 comics, to me, are bad. And also, the show would not have the comics budget. And so it would look bad, too. Without spoiling, it would just all be a whole bunch of bad.
I do not know much about the 6 comics, but I just do know, like, sometimes it is hard when you're watching this to not want to get in there and just be like, okay, what would be better? Like, what am I? Sometimes it's hard to put your finger on exactly what is wrong until you have found your own way to solve it. And there's a lot of holes here, and it's a little rough.
And part of the gut issue, just to keep bringing up issues, again, apologies, but we say this, again, I think I say this out of love at least, because I was just thinking, as Gunn's, you know, alone in his hospital room, part of what doesn't work about this is the lack of Cordelia, because Cordelia made it her mission in season 2 to save Gunn. Yes. Like, she should be here to like try to help Gunn, like at certain points.
Yeah, it's like Gunn has no friend here. Like what with Wes, like whatever they had that seemed to get patched up is completely cut off through this because they make him the fall guy for this problem, which is ridiculous because it's also Lauren's fault for not being able to read Knox. It's also
who is very evil.
Very evil, who's incredibly evil. It's also Angel's fault for making them be here. Like it's so many more characters. Like, it feels very simplistic for us to all just kind of point our fingers at Gunn and he has to like cry and be alone and be sad. It just feels again like this is a character we like to sideline and punish a disproportionate amount. Wonder why. It sucks.
Also, in terms of tightening it up, so say Fred had chosen Knox, would they have never fucked? Because look at his body. Would have noticed something.
He has a whole thing in his torso. look.
Is Knox a ball cell?
He likes to leave his shirt on during and not press your chests against each other. That limits you position-wise, and I don't want that for Fred.
But yeah, it's... Mm-hmm. I have just some questions. I'd love to have answered. Like how you can give me a head with shells. Long, beautiful shells.
True. Shall we dive right in?
Let us do it, because you know I love it when an episode dives in straight from the previouslys, baby.
Oh, yes. Nothing quite hits like it. We pick back up in Fred's room right after this will do. Wes calls her Fred, you know.
And I wrote in my notes, no, bitch.
And then realizes she is Illyria.
Yeah. Amy, already off the bat, Amy's performance, the way, like, the way she moves on the way to the mirror and the way she's just, like... Mm. And then Wes is, like, disgust, like, when he says Illyria, even through his tears. Mm-hmm. And she, like, it's just, like, everyone's killing it in performances. Amy.
Absolute A+.
Thumbs up.
Mm-hmm. Water emoji, fire emoji, etc. Illyria is not stoked that a human thinks it can speak to her. You know, she thought that they would have died out by now. I would really like to tell more men to bleat at me no longer. Honestly, a flex, and I like it. Wes grabs a huge axe and is ready to fucking go. Yeah, I guess.
I assume it was there in preparation for this to happen. Like, if Fred becomes Illyria, I gotta chop it off the head immediately. Yeah.
Fair enough, but I also was like, you know, like, given what we've seen with him cutting Lila's head off after she's dead, once you're out, it's over for you. Wes will cut your head off. Ladies,
she's still
watch
Fred
out.
And he cuts his head off anyway.
Don't go too soon. We go to titles, we come back. We see the axe shatter against Illyria's skull. This is not quite going to do it.
Oh, yeah. Also, from the credits, Amy is still very much Fred in the opening credits, which means there's still hope, right?
Yeah. Oof. So the axe shatters against her skull. And Illyria remembers Winifred Burkle, refers to her as the shell I'm in. Great. Wes doesn't care much for that. She observes his grief. She doesn't like that either. Wes says...
Yeah. She is disgusted by the grief. And I love how disgusted she is. Because, like, Glory and Jasmine, they were basically, like, amused by the audacity of these lesser beings. Mm-hmm. And, like, hubris is part of what led to their downfall. Not Illyria. She's like, ew. Like, ew. This is... I want no part of this.
Absolutely. I do admire that about her. Like, Glory kind of had been humanized by her time on Earth and, like, learned to love bubble baths and things like that. Jasmine was attempting to appeal to all the humans, whereas Illyria is just here to kill, 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 which kind of fucking rocks. Wes says, if you stay here, you're going to be surrounded by humans, like roaches, crying, sweating, puking their feelings all over you. Go back and sleep until the humans are gone. And
yeah,
that's
not
something she can do.
I say fine speech, but Wes, Fred is dead.
Mm-hmm. She explains, this carcass, again, not nice words, is bound to me. I cannot change that if I cared to. And then she's like, bye, I'm going to eradicate all humans.
And she just puts Wes through a wall.
Cool, hot.
The first sign that she's extremely strong, because that wall, oof.
Oof. Then on the Wolfram and Hart private jet coming back from England, Spike is monologuing about how unfair mini bottles are, how they look like a drink from far away. He also kind of voices that Fred probably wouldn't have wanted to live at the cost of thousands and thousands of people. So Angel did the right thing. And also, she must be gone by now.
I mean, yeah. Also, speaking of perspective, as Spike keeps bringing up, I love how Denight shoots this in the perspective with Angel in the foreground and Spike in the background.
Yes. Yeah. Really good direction by Denight in this moment. Like, you get that, like, Angel's barely listening to this. And honestly, Spike's just talking to hear something that isn't sad silence. Mm-hmm. And so Angel has some stuff to say about death. He's kind of like, isn't this a rule that can be broken? You, me, Buffy, all fucking resurrected. Isn't there something to be done here? And we get kind of the hint of what our premise is going to be for this episode, this kind of doomed attempt at reversing death. It's not mm-hmm. quite Prue Halliwell fighting the literal concept of death, but it is in that arena. We go to Gunn's office, and Gunn and Harmony are chatting while an unconscious Knox is tied to a chair.
Because he lived, bitch.
Ugh. But Harmony is very willing to fuck his shit up if Gunn will give her the green light. But Gunn wants to do it himself, because it's personal for him. And, you know...
It's personal for Harmony, too, because they hung out the one time.
This was a joke that made me laugh, but also yes. made me want to scream and tear my hair out, which is kind of like a Glee special.
I was about to, like, jump through the TV if they were, it was like, we're so close, but then they did subvert that with, it was just the one time. As we said, we should have been more times, but, like, hey, at mm-hmm. least they made a good joke out of it. It's the rest of the emotional intelligence that's out of nowhere for Harmony, who, again, I love, but mm-hmm. it's Harmony.
Yeah, she has limitations. Yeah, it's just kind of a bummer. Like, she's like, you think I just want to do this because of my bloodlust? Well, yeah. which is also fun. Wes shows up and says Fred's gone. We hear that a lot this episode. People talk about her being gone. Rather than dead. It's a thread, I think, that is through here, and it's talking about, well, if she's gone, can she be brought back? And I think there's just some interesting stuff about grief and the immediacy of the horror of finding out that someone you love is not around anymore. Denight kind of continues that from where we picked up. Knox loves it. Beautiful. Cool. Thumbs yeah. up. Can't wait for Illyria to be here.
Fuck off. But yeah, when Wes shows up, he's like, he wants to know why they're torturing Knox, but he supports it anyway.
Yeah, he's like, cool, but like, can I just ask why? he's like, Fred's gone. Knox is like, great, she's beyond flesh, beyond perfection. And he monologues about how Fred was beautiful and warm and great. And I cannot believe Wes did not murder him here.
Oh yeah, I wrote in all caps, kill him.
Yes. Gunn yeah. stops Wes when he takes his gun out, and he's like, hey, I know how you feel. And Wes is like, actually, you don't, because I felt her die in my arms. You can't know how I feel.
And I'm like, again, Alexis is great, but this is all about Wesley.
And all about, like, which man has the right to feel grief over the loss of the girl that was, you know, the tug of war rope between the two of them. Not compelling yeah. to me. But Angel shows up and he's like, yeah, I fucking know. So let's get her back. Cool. In Angel's office, Angel and Spike catch the gang up on what happened at the well. Lorne beats himself up for not seeing stuff coming with Knox. And Angel interrupts to hand wave that and is like, there's a lot of things we all could have done, like not coming to Wolfram and Hart in the first place. And I'm like, yeah, how about we sit in that for a second? But we don't have time. We keep going. Lorne leaves. He just, like, he doesn't know what he can do here. And he's, hurting pretty hard. Gunn admits that someone got the sarcophagus out of customs, and he's working on finding out who it is. And when he gets his hands on him, boy, yada. It's rough. Wes does some sniping. Angel tries to do a pep talk, but Wes doesn't care to hear that. He's like, he says again, Fred's gone. She's a shell. But Spike and Angel are like, we can get her back. Like, Spike is like, remember when I was like engulfed in flames and then reappeared here? Like, this, there is precedent here. Yeah. And I know now that I've worked in a law firm. That job's all about finding precedent.
Yeah, because Gunn brings up the liquefied organs, which, as I brought up last episode, it's like, yeah, her body was being destroyed from within. But, you know, again, Spike, what? Here's the thing. A vampire already has all these dead organs.
Yes, that's already, that's, yeah.
That's different than a human having a bunch of dead organs.
And also different, like, and also specific to, like, this kind of vampire, which is very much like a dead body, whereas, like, a Vampire Diaries kind of vampire, it seems like their body works, like, pretty much the normal way a human body would work in a lot of respects. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it depends. But they decide, step one, find Willow. All right, I'm listening.
Don't, because fuck all those bitch asses in the Scooby gang. I don't fuck with any of them.
Fair enough. Willow later turns out to not be on our plane, so we're kind of fucked there.
I take back any shipping of Willow and Fred.
No, don't do that. Don't. There's no reason for that. There's no
blame
reason
Andrew.
To say that.
He started this.
Andrew, how could you do this to me?
You never trust that man.
Hate that bitch. Step two, contain Illyria.
Because they said, you know, Fred's soul is out there somewhere. We'll find it, put it back where it belongs. I'm like, I know Nox is, you know, the worst, but couldn't he just tell him it's not? Does he not know? Yeah, he should know that the soul doesn't exist anymore.
He should, but also, like, that's of no benefit to him to say.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't believe him even if he said it, so.
Yeah. True. There's one directorial bit I have to take tonight to task for, because when Angel says they're gonna make everyone responsible for this pay after they fix this, there's no reaction shot of Gunn. Like, would you think there would be? Especially when Angel's looking directly at Gunn when he says that. It's like, this is like the moment you would have a reaction shot. It's just like a weird little bit.
No, you're right. That is missing.
But we do have a bunch of shots of the male Avengers assembling.
Absolutely. The boys are back as if they ever left. So we have to wonder if we're gonna get Illyria. We gotta figure out where she's going. Cut to Gunn's office. Illyria's here for Nox. Harmony sees her and calls her Fred. She's not Fred. Illyria backhands her across the lobby. Dang, she zoops.
Yeah.
She packs a fucking punch, and Nox is very stoked that his god is here.
Yeah. So for those playing at home, the soul was basically like the elephant in the room when we were talking about a hole in the world, because, like, obviously I hit on the fact that Fred's body was basically destroyed from within. But, like, this is the thing that's kind of like the no undoing. But, like, here we learn that the soul is kaput, as they say.
Yeah.
And which is, I would say, because there's this argument in fandom I've seen before that, like, Angel's like soul is like a random soul and not Liam's, because he's nothing like Liam. But I always contend, like, it's just like Liam was, you know, a narcissist, like, and a hedonist, but, like, if you give him, like, memories of all the things that, like, Angelus has done, he's gonna feel some type of way about it.
Yeah, like, the shit that Angelus is doing is pretty next level. Like, having the actual feeling of, like, killing multiple babies with your own body, is
including your sister,
you up. Yes.
Who you did seem to love.
Yeah. Like, all of that stuff's gonna, you know, make you make some life changes.
But yeah, so this kind of is like, no, you can't just, like, put a random soul in someone.
No, it has to be theirs. So
it has to exist.
Yes. So in the Wolfram and Hart lab, Nox continues to geek out. It turns out he is her quahazan, her priest, her servant, her guide in this world. And he reveals the thing that he has in the his chest, some kind of weird knobby thing.
Loved
how,
like,
gross it looked.
Of course you did, you little freak. And I'm like, and Lorne couldn't read this man? Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit.
He has a mystical relic in his chest cavity. And
it's
Lorne,
like,
was
jutting,
like,
out. Like,
to me.
You could see that shit through his shirt, basically.
Mm-hmm. And you know, but we're not to believe that he did. So Illyria is unimpressed because her last Quahazan was taller. And then she takes all of her clothes off. And we get, like, boy going, like, you know, the dweeby boy love when girls show boob.
Yeah, and this was the scene where I was like, I hate every single one of his comedic beats. And this is what people are talking about when they attribute, well, that just happened to Joss.
Yes. So then in Angel's office, turns out Willow's not on this plane. Yikes. Angel's having a screaming match on the phone with Giles. I would have liked Giles for this scene more than I would have liked him for A Hole in the World. I would love to hear the two of them yelling at each other. That would be fun for me.
I would love to see that man and just, like, really be furious even more.
Yes, it's unfair that I'm mad at someone who isn't even, like, around. Like, and that's the other thing. I wonder how you feel about this, because there are times when I am watching something that I love or once loved, and a character does something that I just hugely don't agree with, and I, like, file that away in my brain as bad writing. And I'm like, you know what? That didn't happen. Like, that's not real. Like, and I feel that way about everything that's implied about the Scoobies this season. Like, he's not fighting on the phone with Giles. That's some other dude. Like, I find it hard to believe that any of our gang would do the things we're being told they're doing.
I believe it just because I combine it with, because I didn't read all of them, but, like, the combination of this and the Buffy comics and even the Angel comics, I just believe this bullshit.
Yeah,
I don't care for the Buffy comics either, from what I read.
No, I also tried to read those and I was not a huge fan. Then we get this little moment with Wes and Gunn. Gunn is, like, still hopeful, you know, maybe we can fix this, you know, because then it would mean he hadn't done it. Wes says he's, like, lost all reason. You're like, he's like, I don't want to take it out on you who have done everything that you can, Gunn. I'm sorry.
Gunn still doesn't tell the truth, even when Wesley, of all people, does an apology.
I was so, like, what world am I living in?
Where this man still hasn't apologized for kidnapping Angel's son.
And he made a joke about it. Remember when he said he could do it again? And I was like, this man wants to die. This man wants to be slapped to death. And yeah, Gunn says, so am I. And I just, like, hate it. Like, I hate that we're waving away Lorne or Angel being even a little bit responsible for this. It's all Gunn's fault, and he doesn't even handle it being his fault, you know, the right way. It just feels very character assassination-y. I'm not having a fun time.
The lack of responsibility taking.
Yeah, just sucks. So Angel throws his phone against the wall and shatters it. They will not be getting any help from Giles.
So it's classic Angel. It's just because he doesn't know how to use his phone, usually.
Yeah, usually. I'm sure that's not the first phone he's shattered.
Yeah, Harmony has woken up, so now she has to go buy him a new one.
Mm-hmm. And she's got a big red mark on her face from the backhand. Cute.
Yeah, they all end up beat to shit by Illyria.
Yes. We go to the lab. Illyria goes from being naked into her new outfit that she seems to, like, suck out of the sarcophagus.
Yeah, she's sucking up the sarcophagus or whatever. I put in my notes. And then I also put, seriously, I need him to shut the fuck up. I need him to stop.
It's not good, because he's like, oh, whoa, like very that happened. And Illyria says she's ready to begin. Angel and Co. come in. Illyria immediately recognizes him as a warrior. And it's like, yeah, we got a lot of them, actually. And lots of Wolfram and Hart dudes come in with big old guns.
And she says, two half-breeds and a band of primitives.
Get them.
She might as well have said boy, derogatory.
Absolutely. Angel talks a big talk, gives Illyria a chance to cooperate. And Illyria throws him out a window and then makes everything slow motion.
Yeah, if you've seen her any of her feats of strength, which is two so far, you know she's about to whoop our friends' asses.
Yeah. To shout out to Danai, I love the way all of this is realized. The slow motion yes. stuff looks really good. And I'm especially a big fan of the shot of like her and Nox exiting that pans up to mm-hmm. Angel falling yeah. out of the window.
I'm surprised you didn't bring up bullet times since you're such a Matrix fan.
I like am swallowing saying bullet time. I was like, they probably won't.
You're allowed to say bullet time here.
It's bullet time. It's actually relevant baby. Here.
I just love, yeah, Angel's still falling time. As they've like long walked away from the building. That fucking
love
rules.
It. Fucking owns. Like really great, like it really shows us the stakes. Like this is like something they have not faced before. They are woefully unprepared.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it. Or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
But this is also, this episode, I think, is another reason why you can't have a season six, because the stuff they're doing here and like the story they're telling and like the scope, mm-hmm. it's like clearly super expensive.
Yeah.
Like both with the deeper well and then showing like how like the expanse of like all the dead, like the dust, like that is so much money on screen.
There's so much money, and they're also things you see once. Like, it's one thing to spend a lot of money building a new set we're going to be in all the time, but to spending all of this money on stuff that, you know, comes and goes really quickly, sometimes that can be worth it, but sometimes mm-hmm. it feels like, you know, is it really worth it?
That's why you can make season six a comic, because you don't have to worry about the budget, but like to put that, you couldn't put what they do in season six on the screen without it looking like shit or like spending way too much money.
Fair. So back in the lobby, Angel comes back, beats shit, we all reconvene. What was that? Teleportation? Wes doesn't think so.
Angel is nice to Harmony for once. She's like, basically, because she literally didn't throw you out a window, you're doing better than I am. Don't worry about it.
Now that there's only one girl left, he knows he has to be nice to keep her around. He couldn't manage
before she
to
becomes
hang
a shell
to the
too. Oh, we'll talk about that in a second when he, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Gunn makes a Flash reference. He names a bunch of Flashes.
Which, that is gun to do that. But at the same time, you know Angel's not going to get Barry Allen. Why would you bring up Jay Garrick?
Come on.
He's definitely not going to know that one.
He will not know any Flash, but it's very cute. Wes is in research mode.
I wrote in my notes, and this is the gun we know, so the chatty rooms can shut up.
Yes. Like, finally, he's my friend again, and I don't even want it anymore. Like, I... help. So, Wes is going to go do research. Harmony's going to join him. What help is she going to be in this capacity? Is she going to get snacks? Like, and Gunn,
hey, she gets to tear things apart, which is good.
Yeah, it's cute. Gunn's going to go talk to a contact of his. I'm doing air quotes for the listener. Then in Angel's office, Angel and Spike are like, we got to track down Illyria. Spike is like, it was really fucked up. I couldn't smell her. She has no scent. Like, she's not there.
Yeah. And he's about to say she's really gone. Angel won't allow it. Mm-hmm. And Angel says, I lost Cordelia because something violated her. Crawled inside, used her up. No way in hell I'm letting that happen again. But like, it literally does happen again. And my thing is, like, Angel isn't like usually a show where the plot beats are the same over and over again from season to season. It's like not like how, you know, The Flash had like a speedster as the villain all the time, or like Dexter was always versus serial killers. Like, there really are like changes in like the beats of its storytelling. But so the fact that this is the same beat, it really stands out both as lazy and again, Joss's reaction to Charisma fucking up his brilliant plan and wanting to do it the right way this time. Because, like, originally, season four, like, the Jasmine thing is, like, she never gives birth to Gina Torres. She just, like, is possessed by Jasmine the entire season is what it is.
Okay, so she just would have been. There would have been no Gina Torres. It just would have been evil Cordy.
It still would not have been Cordy at all that season then, basically. But, like, it would have been Charisma playing the character the entire time. I guess no fucking Connor, which is the one good part of it.
I mean, I guess, but like, still, if imagine
still
being
like
so
you know
with your own idea.
The grooming.
Yeah,
but I'm sure.
God, that does not
the champion grooming, happy. but still, yeah, it's like since she ruined this for me, I'm just gonna do it the way I wanted to. It's like pick a new beat again. Amy is great as Illyria, but still.
Still.
It's not how the show has been done prior.
I agree, but do you know what I do like?
What do you like?
When Angel says that quote that you read off so beautifully, his voice gets real deep and real growly. I have not heard it do that, maybe ever. And I was like, hello, sir. Like, I was interested in hearing more.
Should we play the buy for Boreanaz just for you and honestly me too?
As two buys, yes.
Okay.
He's got a booty stare and hot spiky hair. If you're straight or gay, your tingly feelings don't care. You're just being honest about this sexy demonic in your bye for Boreanaz. Bye for Boreanaz.
Morgan, did you like rewind multiple times?
No, I was like, I was like,
everyone's voice is getting deep.
just took a big drink of water. Then in the lab, Harmony is just literally tearing everything up. I don't know if this is of help.
What Harmony says, I have to go through. There was a line that I like had to dissect, Scoobies, that we cut out because I'm like, I don't want to be sued for slander. Mm-hmm. But I think I can do this line. I never trusted that little nerd. The rumpled hair, socks that didn't match, that cute lopsided grin. So totally playing it up. I mean, who did he think he was fooling besides all of us? And I'm like that's Joss. Like, the rumpled hair and the lopsided grin. Like, that's Joss Whedon. So either Denight was mocking Joss slash the obvious proxy, or Joss was like, I'm gonna hide in plain sight with this line once again.
Yeah, it's...
Like, I feel like I won't get sued for slander for this one.
This one, I don't think you have issues with.
If you guys can guess what line it was that I was afraid I was gonna get sued for slander, I will be amazed.
Give you a little treat. It's weird. For me, I also took a big issue when she called him a girl. I'm like, Harmony, you're the girliest girl I've ever seen. You have unicorn stickers on your thermos. Like, what?
Because that culminated with, like, the Rick Springfield thing. I'm like, I don't know what's happening here. Is he gay? Think Fred's fabulous? Is, like, that's what like, is that what was it was?
No idea. Yeah, there's a joke about how his cell phone has a Rick Springfield, like, screensaver.
Screensaver,
she doesn't
yeah.
even know what that means. And I'm like, is this, like, early aughts gay panic? Or, like, what are we doing here? That's the trouble with pop culture references, is sometimes they date something to the point where you just can't understand a thing. I think Rick Springfield, I think my good friend Jill Dayfield.
Time to sing Jesse's girl.
yeah, so I mean, like, I don't know, man.
Because they were very, like, the one example I always get of like, good gay and gay panic jokes from, like, this era was, like, Frasier. Because it was always, like, at the expense of, like, Frasier and his just, like, stupidity whenever they did that.
Yeah, I mean, I love a joke that's calling someone stupid.
Which happens with Frasier all the time.
Specifically
because
Frasier.
He thinks he's the smartest character in the room, and he's always getting embarrassed because of it.
I need to watch more Frasier. Wes is looking at the sarcophagus, kind of touching it like it didn't just fuck up everyone who touched it.
And I understand, basically, yes, we know Fred's curious, and that is part of, like, the opening of the previous episode. Mm-hmm. But this is, like, accidentally kind of saying curiosity killed the cat, when, again, she was under a thrall.
Yeah.
She did want to, like, send it to containment, and she was, like, telling Knox to get it ready. But, like, the reason she got the dust and everything was because there was, like, a thrall. She was lured because she was intended vessel. That is something that is, because he wouldn't know that, obviously. He would just think it's Fred's curiosity.
Of course.
But I need to make clear.
Mm-hmm. Not baby girl's fault. But I do appreciate that he says, you know, she was just curious. And I think I hate her a little bit for that. That kind of, like, aftermath of being, like, the idea that grief also comes with anger, like anger sometimes towards the person you lost, mm-hmm. for feeling like they abandoned you, and how there's just a really complicated cocktail of emotions pulsing through our mm-hmm. entire gang. I think that is that piece of it is well realized, but I agree. It's kind of like, okay, like, I don't know, like she didn't do that.
And it is like, it's something that very much is a part of not just Wesley, but our crew in general. Like, Angel would always get mad with Cordelia for putting herself in, like, dangerous situations. Mm-hmm. Just yeah. It is just something they get mad at each other about doing, you know, the heroic shit. And, like, how would you be so fucking stupid? It's like, just like, tell them you love them, you weirdo.
Yes. And it's also like, also say that into a mirror. You can't get mad at other people for doing this when you do it constantly. This is where Harmony, she kind of counters with, the girl of your dreams loved you. That's more than most people ever get.
Which I love, but it's so not a Harmony line.
Yeah, it's like, does she have a mouse in her pocket who's watches Dr. Phil? Like
Ratatouille, but it's Cordelia in mouse form.
Okay, now this I like.
Cordelia has been reincarnated as a mouse, and she's talking to Harmony.
If Harmony was always in a very tall hat with a little corny mouse.
A very pink, frilly hat, and underneath is Cordelia the mouse.
Okay, we've solved it. This is what is going on.
Once again, we fixed season 5 of Angel.
You're
Cut
welcome.
That check, baby.
Give me them zids. Wes is like, yeah, I know, but... So
give me
enough.
A head with zits. Long, beautiful zits. I don't know why I have hair. Like, is that the cadence I want to go with? That's the parody I want to do. I don't particularly care that much about hair.
I don't know why. I'm certainly not going to be the one to answer this question for you.
What's wrong with me?
One day we'll figure it out. Wes smacks the shit out of the sarcophagus until he gets one of the stones out, which he thinks might be useful. Harmony finds Knox's cell phone, Rick Springfield's screensaver. She, like, outgoing calls are deleted, incoming calls are deleted, but missed calls, those are still there, baby. And we got three from the same number in the last few hours. Let's
probably like,
go.
Knox, what's going on? What the fuck's going on?
Fair.
Dude, what's going on? Yeah, so it's Dr. Sparrow, who I wrote in my notes even before Dr. Sparrow said it, like, he's just going to him now.
Uh-huh.
And then Sparrow calls it out. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, and like Gunn's like, I've been kind of busy. And I've been like, I don't know what you were doing that wasn't going
busy
to talk
trying
to the person who did this.
Protect him, his neck, basically.
I guess. It sucks. We're told a bunch of stuff we already know. He says, you can't bring Fred back. Gunn doesn't believe it. Gunn is doing denial. He's doing anger. And he's doing bargaining in this scene.
Yeah.
the full dab, if you will.
He's doing bargaining part one and two.
Two good jokes from two great ladies.
Yes, Morgan did dab everyone.
Thank you. He is begging for Sparrow to bring Fred back, but he cannot do that. He explains that Fred's soul was consumed in the fires of resurrection. It's gone forever. And then he is
consumed like good.
And then Dr. Sparrow is fucking smacked because Wes is here, and he now has his shotgun trained on Gunn.
Wesley's got a gun. There, new song.
There we go. So we go to commercial, we come back. Knox's phone led Wes here. The number was Dr. Sparrow's. Gunn owns up to what he did and how afraid he was to lose what made him special. God fucking damn it.
I mean, like, we know that's what it made him feel at this point, and, like, that is the story.
Yeah.
Again, if only they just tighten that shit up.
Yeah. Wes says, nothing from Wolfram and Hart is ever free. And Gunn says, I know that, but I just didn't think the price would be one of us.
Yeah, because first he says, I didn't think anyone would get hurt. And then he says, I didn't think it would be one of us, which means he basically is admitting he was lying and knew someone would be the price.
Yeah. He just didn't care. He assumed it wouldn't touch them. And he says again, I couldn't go back to just being the muscle. Bummer city. Wes says he understands not wanting to go back to being who he was. And he can forgive that. But knowing what was going on and not saying anything, letting her die. He grabs a little knife off the table and he stabs Gunn in the belly. Cut to Angel and Wes. Angel's throwing Wes against a wall for doing this. He is not pleased.
Why isn't he pleased?
I don't know. Because Wes is like, I avoided all the major organs. He's probably going to live.
Angel's like, I don't remember seeing stab Gunn on the agenda this morning. Mm-hmm. Angel, you know these two and their fucked up
thing about
relationship.
Fred. Yeah, come on. I can never tell with the two of them. Like, if anything, like, Angel should be very confused constantly about the status of their relationship.
Yeah, here's the thing. Angel got lured into, like, a false sense of security about how Wes is now. Mm-hmm. So he forgot that Wes is a little psycho.
Yeah. You can't let any trauma happen to Wes. If Wes has one half of one trauma, he's fucked.
Angel, you should know better. Like, once Wes, like, stops sleeping, there's something wrong.
Like, honestly, once Wes's dad, like, fake robot dad showed up, we all should have been on high alert for the next calendar year.
I know there's no baby to kidnap this time, but there's something to do. There's something drastic to do.
If the scruff grows even a little bit, be worried. But
if he's like drawing attention to his neck where the scar is with turtlenecks, be worried.
So
the turtleneck, though.
Yeah. God, so sad. Angel is like, so that makes it right that, you know, you didn't stab him in an organ. And Wes is like, none of this is right. Fred's soul was destroyed. He explains what Gunn did. And Angel's like, well, I let her die, too. And explains what happened at the well. And it's like, that's really different. But I do wish we could delve more into, like, the specific guilt he feels about that. And Angel's like, Wes, you need to bury it because we have to focus on stopping Illyria. Spike shows up. They ask him what he got out of the doctor, and he says screams and various fluids. I write,
the one thing I would have liked to see, but I'm fine with it being off screen, the torture of Dr. Spear. I'm like, I would have loved to see it, but like, this is a scene you can have off screen, and like, it doesn't take away from anything.
Yes, but also screams and various fluids. Thank you, Steve DeKnight. Like, specifically, that gnarly shit, that comes from my boy, I believe, and that makes me happy. So the name that he got out of Sparrow was Vala Hanesh. Yeah, Vala Hanesh. It's the name of her temple where she was supposed to be released.
An origin or an etymology for like these particular words?
No, I truly have no idea.
I didn't look it up.
Where it came from, if there was any like thought put into that. So he says this is the name of Illyria's temple where she was supposed to be released, you know, but because of the Pangaea situation, didn't happen. The picture in Wes's big dusty tome has Illyria and her army of doom. She's a big leech. They're all little leeches. Again, Illyria, dang ass freak. And he says, this spot is out of phase with our time stream, so only Illyria can open it. Because Angel makes a joke about how he's pretty sure he would have spotted this parked right next to the Ralphs. Love a Ralphs shout out. Cut to somewhere. Nox is explaining humans to Fred. They're sneaky.
Again, I'm like, it's when the Hyperion is the bus station from Fredless.
Very much so. Nox doesn't consider himself a human anymore now that he's allied with Illyria. He's something else. Illyria does not want to hear this dumb boy, which I feel
me
deeply.
Neither, again. Seriously, I hate all of his bits. I read in my notes.
Absolutely terrible. She reaches out to open the portal. But she says the gateway's blocked. And Nox is like, oh, that's probably Wolfram and Hart's doing. And Illyria remembers Wolf, Ram, and Hart. Cool.
And they were barely above a vampire back in her day.
Yeah.
They completely... Yeah, they capitalized on the old ones being banished, basically, it looks like.
Yeah, that does seem... like they filled that vacuum. So Nox is like, don't worry. I've got a skeleton key. Like, I've got a way around this. Let's get into it. Then... in the Wolfram and Hart medical bay, Harmony shows up with some papers for Gunn to sign.
What? Do we know what these papers are?
I couldn't tell because there's like, she's like, he's like, shouldn't I not be signing this? And she's like, that's kind of what they're about. So like, I wondered if they were like termination papers, but it really wasn't clear to me.
Yeah.
She asks, is it true that you did this? Like, and he's like, yeah. She goes, how could you? He says, because I was weak, because I wanted to be somebody that I wasn't, because I don't know where I fit, because I never did, because a thousand other reasons that don't mean a damn because she's gone.
If only Cordelia were here.
Yeah. And he cries and he says he's sorry. And Harmony puts a hand on his shoulder. And I know we've talked about all of the reasons that this has been a hard pill to swallow, but if for one last time, Gunn has always been such a skeptical person. He did not trust Angel for the longest time. And yet I'm to believe he was like, Wolfram and Hart, great. Put the superpowers in my brain.
Yeah.
And I hate that the answer to this is that he actually hated himself this whole time.
Yeah. And he talks about being weak and how he didn't know where he fits in. And he has no one around to tell him like where he fits in or that he's more than the muscle. Because again, like no Cordelia. And he and Fred were basically not even speaking terms, really, the way this season was written.
Yes. And it's hard. Like actually he hated himself is the answer. Makes me upset because that's not what I want for him. But it's also like, it's not also entirely off base. Like, we know that there's some dark shit going on and potentially even some self-loathing. You know, he mortgaged his soul. He killed his sister. Like, he has real things that are heavy. But he believed in what he was doing. He believed in the fight and doing good and what he stood for. And this just feels like such an annihilation of so many things that always felt central to
especially
who he was.
Since it also means like what Gwen was telling him last time, like, didn't sink in at all.
Mm-hmm. Which, like, I mean, it's fair. Like, she picked it out because it's an issue that he has. But, like, yeah, it just is rough. At the portal entrance, Angel, Wes, and Spike arrive as Knox finishes up the ritual to unlock it. They're all ready to die, trying to fuck Illyria's shit up if necessary, because Angel will not let innocent people die at her hands. She asks Angel, like, you're the protector of these humans. Would you fight for their lives? Even him? Nodding at Knox. And Knox is like, whoa, was my life on the chopping block here?
Yeah, bitch.
Yes. What part, when did you think she liked you? She is not, like, she has made no promises to you, sir. And, like, you know, Angel says, yeah, I would fucking defend his life. He's a human. Like, and being human means being messy and shit like that. I don't like him, but yeah, of course. And Wes feels differently because he shoots Knox in the chest. Thanks, buddy.
Yay. And this is where Angel's like, were you even listening? And I'm like, there's Boreanaz nailing the comedy beat in a way none of Knox's lines have.
Yes. We go to commercial. We come back. Illyria's like, what the hell? And they're like, oh, are you mad? And she's like, no, I'm mad that you think I'd be mad about this. Like, this man doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
Great burn on Knox.
Right. And then I write in my notes, time for our friends to embarrass themselves.
Oh, God, it's rough. It's them fighting the beast all over again. It's sword fight o'clock.
Oh, God, that was fun. The beast, like, sucked ultimately, but those fights were fun.
Yeah, all that slow-mo shit. Like, there was good, like, gun. There were guns. There was violence. It was cool.
Because it is, like, hot with, like, the West shooting at her, but then it's so funny when she just kicks and knocks his dead body at him.
Very, very funny shit. Spike and Angel cannot land a blow. Illyria does her little spin to avoid being shot. Silly.
But also so good. Mm-hmm. Just... her doing limbo basically to avoid them.
Oh, again, a little Matrixy, a little bit Neo.
It reminds me of another Amy Acker thing, like her gunfight in like season 4, A Person of Interest, where she's like shooting down while her opponent is like shooting up, basically.
Oh,
and
cool.
it's really cool.
That's sick. Illyria's response to this attack, unimpressive.
Hot.
Cool. Neg me more. She slows down time again, but Angel's fucking prepared for that shit now.
Well, I love this because, like, slow-mo West with two guns is something we know so well. Mm-hmm. But in this case, it's because she's manipulated time because of the bullet time.
Yes. And Angel gets a good hit in on her because he's got the stone. The stone was connected to the sarcophagus and to Illyria, and now it's connected to Angel. So he is impervious to this particular power.
Yeah, she still kicks their asses, though.
Yeah, absolutely. Illyria says, sneaky. And she's starting to realize what it's like to be around humans. and she opens up the portal and jumps into it, and Wes follows.
Because he has a death wish.
Yes. We go into Illyria's temple. Wait a second. Everything's gone. And now, much like Fred, this is a hollowed out, empty thing.
It's literally it's anymore. Ash for miles.
Yeah,
like that's her army of doom. Mm-hmm. It's basically if like you're in the Hellmouth and the Turrican were all dead already.
That would have been nice for our gang.
With the dead army of doom, I must say, it's fuck watch time.
Watch.
Fuck watch. All right. Who are you fucking?
Who am I fucking? I thought that I would do something clever because I'm not feeling particularly like fucking given the vibes that we've had these past couple of episodes. But I will say, you know what? Because he was angry and it made me horny. Angel. I'm gonna fuck Angel.
And you've not chosen Angel so far this season.
I don't know if I have. If I have, I'm cheating and I'm picking Angel again.
Let me see, because I did have the Fuck Watch spreadsheet open. It's a little behind, but let me see that you've not already chosen Mr. Angel. At least, I don't think you did in Smile Time or Hole in the World, which is not updated. But yeah, you did not fuck Angel already, so you're good.
Yay, I can do
it. I fucked Angel in episode 2.
Yeah, that always happens. You always blow your load early with him.
And then I have to cheat.
Yeah.
You think I'm not going to try to fuck Angel again later this season? Come on now. Aww. You must not know about me.
And I
already fucked
you.
Puppet Angel.
I will let you cheat. I simply won't let it happen. Because I believe in the rules.
Of course. Yeah, sure. So I was considering Spike, who I have not chosen yet this season, actually.
Yeah.
Especially for like later in the episode, he has some really good stuff, and Marsters is doing some great work. But I'm actually going to choose Harmony. Aww. Yes, she has way too much emotional maturity and intelligence here. But you know what? That's like probably the only time I'll feel comfortable fucking Harmony, and not like something's like a problem if I try to fuck her.
Not like you're potentially taking advantage of her. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm into it.
Yes.
I like that for you.
Terrible.
Well, that's Fuck Watch.
It is.
So Illyria, upon seeing, you know, her army gone, falls to her knees, picks up the dust, lets it fall through her fingertips, all the good ones. And Wes puts his gun to her head and says, "Now you know how I feel." And Illyria, like, skedaddles the fuck out of there.
She just bails. At least she leaves a portal open for him.
Yeah, that was really nice of her, honestly. Then at Angel's office, hooray for small victories, I guess. No army coming to kill us. Angel wants to get that portal closed. Notes that Illyria is still a threat they need to take care of. Wes concurs. He's going to go in the lab. And we get a Spike and Angel scene. Spike asks if he can still be a spy, and then he says Gunn should be a spy. Everyone thinks it's a good idea.
So what they're saying is we were right all along.
Interesting.
It's almost like anyone who's disagreed with us should check the records, because the show is agreeing with us. Mm-hmm. So
nice to get a little validation. Spike's like, I don't want to leave. Fred would have wanted me to stay. And then he thinks on it more. I love this moment where he's like, it's what she would have wanted. And then he like goes, fuck, it's what I want. Which I
love. And this
is
why I was considering Spike being my fuck watch.
Great moment. So cool to like, because especially one, I don't believe that he and Fred had a strong enough connection to motivate anything.
Of the gaps. And I'm going to just keep saying it. Should have tightened it up.
Would have been nice. Could have used some tightening.
We should have had a post-Ghost Fred and Spike mess around episode.
Would have loved a Fred and Spike mess around, but we simply didn't get it. But I love him being like, it's so easy to say, like, because of Fred, he does this. And he's like, no, it's because of me. Like, what's going on is important. He says, the fight is coming, Angel. We can both feel it. And it's going to be a hell of a lot bigger than Illyria.
And the thing also with this scene, it's like, you know, I've said this 5 million times. My issues with Spike with a soul in season 7. He has a soul now, but nothing about that changes how he behaves. Mm-hmm. And finally.
Yes.
Finally, he actually, like, acts like the champion. And obviously, I understand you have to become a champion. You can't, like, having a soul doesn't make you a champion. Like, but finally, he is acting like someone who has that soul.
Yes.
Someone who willingly chose to have that soul.
Yes. And
instead of just the same and having a soul, so it absolves him.
Yeah. And, like, you know, I get it. And, like, I did not watch a lot of season 7 during Buffering's coverage because I was in a feud with them.
But also self-care.
And also self-care. But, you know, I know that a lot of him in season 7 is like, I just got the soul, it's fucking me up, I'm fucked up, all of this shit.
Yeah, I'm not mentally well, so I don't have to do any actual work on myself.
Yeah.
And also, Robin Wood, he's a mean black guy.
Ugh, bad, no thank you. But I really do appreciate him finally, like, coming into his own here. He says, things are gonna get ugly, and that's where I live. And you're like, yeah.
Yeah, I wrote my notes. Okay, James, go off.
Yes. Like, it's also just like, this is what you owe James. Like, it, all of it. It just is nice to finally let him do this. It really seems like these were two characters.
It took a season and a half to get Spike to where I would want him to be. Literally a season of another show and then like half of this season.
Nuts. It just seems like these are two difficult characters to coexist together on the same show, taking up the same space. I think it was really hard for them to make this work. That ultimately seems to be like they wanted to do this and they didn't really know how to do it. Our final scene takes place in Fred's office. Wes is packing up Fred's stuff. Illyria shows up and she's surprised. He's still grieving over like just the one life. Nuts.
Because yeah, she's like, I was grieving over like thousands, like turned to dust. Like, what's your deal?
And I'm like, already done.
Yeah.
She pre-grieved, so she's good. She's like, she's not sure like why she came here. She's kind of looking confused. I write in my notes in all caps, uh-oh, is someone having a feeling? We love it. She's like, this office is, it's part of the shell. And Wes is like, she had a fucking name. And she goes, oh yeah, that's important to you. Things have names. And she's like, she's gone, but you know, there are fragments. There are memories. And she summons a little memory with a lightning bolt between her fingers, like she's fucking Vincent on the Originals doing the little gesture. And she says, why can't I stay? In her little Fred voice. Rude.
Bitch, you keep her voice out of your mouth.
Bitch, I'll slap the shit out of you. I don't care if it's the last thing I do.
Keep my fucking wife's voice out of your mouth.
That, I don't want to hear that shit. So Wes is like, you gotta leave. And Illyria is like, I don't have anywhere to go. My kingdom's long dead. And Wes is like, yeah, and your place is being dead alongside all of that shit.
Because, yeah, she's like, I become overwhelmed. I'm unsure of my place. And I'm like, Taylor brought this up, how there was, like, she connected it to Anya's speech and the body. And I think in terms of, like, the demon side, I think Illyria is possibly, like, a better version of Anya in a way, basically. Especially, like, because Anya becoming, Avengers Demon again, she's still... It always drove me crazy how, like, relatively weak she was for a demon. Like, for seemingly a powerful demon she was before.
Yeah.
Like, it was like she might as well have never not become a demon again, pretty much.
Yeah, it's a little, like, half the thing and dozen the other, or whatever.
Yeah. So, and just, again, Amy Acker.
Oh, killing it. She's like, okay, maybe, but I'm here, and I have to learn to be here, and I'll need your help. Wesley.
And I'm like, is this man not broken enough?
Like, leave him alone. Leave him be. Like, I'm sorry, but there are way better people to teach you how to be normal. Like, I would not go to Wes to learn a damn thing.
He's like, he's the last man in the world to teach her what's right. I'm like, true?
Go with that instinct, sir. He says that she'd have to learn to change. Stop killing. And she's like, but you killed Knox, even though your boss told you not to. Like, and he's like, yeah, well, he killed the woman that I love. And she's like, oh, so it was just. And he's like, no, it's not just. Fuck. Ah, fine. I'll help you. And Illyria's like, because I look like her. And Wes is like, yeah, because you fucking look like her. And,
yeah, it's pretty pathetic.
Oh, it's. And the fact that has no illusions about that.
Yeah.
I like and is just dark. She looks at the sarcophagus and she says, we cling to what is gone. Is there anything else but grief?
And that's where I start tearing up and ask, why am I tearing up already? I haven't seen this in years. And I really love Denight's like the camera movement in this scene. And I think that has a lot to do with why I just start crying.
It's very like rousing. You know, Wes explains that there's hope. Hope that you find something worthy, that your life will lead you to some joy, that after everything you can still be surprised. And Illyria asks, is that enough? And Wes doesn't answer because he doesn't know anymore. Then A Place Called Home by Kim Ritchie starts playing and everyone is sad.
All of our friends are now shells themselves. That's why the episode is titled Shells and Not Shell.
Mm-hmm. Because everyone's hollowed out without Fred. And I love the moment... The Feigenbaum, the little rabbit thing doesn't work for me until now. The idea that it's something that, you know, Fred's neurons or synapses were firing and she thought about this before she died. And the idea that, like, Wes didn't know what she needed and didn't know how to give it to her. And now he's holding it in his hands without any knowledge of its significance.
Again, comparing it to the body, it's Anya finding the sweater and the like the couch during that and just kind of like tossing it aside. It's kind of like that.
It's like that, yeah.
But yeah, like we have Gunn in bed alone, just like staring up the ceiling. Harmony at her desk alone. And even with the unicorns, it's still fucking sad as hell. Mm-hmm. Lorne drinking alone and just drinking and drinking and drinking.
Yeah.
Spike on the steps alone, I really like because it's like it's basically like he's a ghost again the way people are passing by him.
Yeah.
Angel in his office alone. He failed.
Mm-hmm.
Like.
Couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And then we see Fred. She's back in Texas. Yeah.
So they like clearly shot just during A Hole in the World, which is why we were like, we kind of connected them. They just shot it during the last episode.
Oh, very much so. Yeah. And she is hugging her mom goodbye. Her dad's out on the porch watching as she drives away. And we just sit with her for a little bit. As she drives off into this
life. As I'm sobbing.
Oh, God, I'm not well right now. She looks so hopeful, and she's driving off into this life where, like, anything is possible for her. And she thinks it all is just about to open up, and she doesn't know about all the hurt that is coming and that this is, like, maybe one of the last uncomplicated times. And we end there with her. And it's just, it's very gutting. It makes me really fucking sad. Mission fucking accomplished. It's been a rough 24 hours for the gang. Hell, I'll
it's
even say 48.
It's been a long day. Yeah.
And they could probably use a nice calming episode of the WB. To wash this all down with.
You're not going to get a nice calming episode of the WB, I'll tell you what.
Well, rather than a nice calming episode of the WB, what would you recommend they watch, LaToya?
Angel is a vampire. Does he even like TV?
I think he'll like the WB.
They get that hot teen drama to ease the pain and trauma. And here's the episode that he needs to see.
Thank you. All right. So me singing that It's Been a Long Day song was actually a hint because you might remember that as the loudest music cue in the history of the Vampire Diaries. Yes, I am suggesting the CW's Vampire Diaries.
Woo!
Season 4, episode 15, Stand By Me. Basically an example of how not to process your grief as terrific of an episode as it is.
Yeah.
I know our friends are feeling hollow and like shells right now, and they are beating themselves up, but they should know they are already all handling this grief better than one Elena Gilbert. That's for sure.
Yeah. Honestly, they could all use the boost of being like, well, at least, you know. Oh,
at
thank
least
God.
Fred's body did not get to the point of smelling as it decomposed, and none of you are in denial about that.
And none of you burned your house down, so thank goodness.
None of our vampires chose to lose their souls out of their grief.
Yes.
And in fact, Wes, by helping Illyria, is possibly helping his soul, because we know he has a fucked up soul.
Abso-fucking-lutely. Yeah, you're right. They should know that it could be worse.
They should know that they did the best they could with these circumstances.
Absolutely.
Especially Wes, because, you know.
Yeah.
Wes, of course. He's not okay.
No, not a well man at all. None of them are at this point.
Yeah, because they're all men.
Mm-hmm. And that's the WB.
Yeah.
Hard up. But I'm really was glad to talk to you about it, buddy. Do you have any other closing thoughts on this before we scoot to plugs?
No, I don't think so. Again, just that ending always fucks me up. I had not watched this episode in years.
Yeah.
And yet, even before we get to the montage, mm-hmm. I was tearing up. And I thought it was very poignant, that scene in the discussion between Illyria and Wes.
Yeah, I think it's nice. It's touching on a lot of the show's big themes. So I like it.
And a lot of the issues we have is they could have been fixed had the first half of the season been much better.
For sure.
Because had you tightened those things up, the things would have been tightened up here already.
Yeah. It is very much like good work built on a very shaky foundation. So it's like it's kind of complicated to assess and to experience because, you know, you're like, well, that's mm-hmm. great. But like, why don't I feel? And it's like because none of the groundwork was laid properly.
Yes.
But you can follow this.
Like, I'm sorry. It's like if Nina showed up in the episode, it's like, Fred's my best friend from when they, like, interacted yes. with her blonde sister that one time.
Yes, absolutely. And it's like, I don't know that, bitch. Like, you can't.
All I remember is that Fred didn't help at all with that situation. She made things worse.
Nina shows up and is crying and, like, throwing herself into Angel's arms. I'm so sad. It's like, Nina, you don't have to do that to get him to have sex with you.
Again. Classic Nina.
Yeah, classic Nina, I think.
Nina, Morgan's favorite character.
Nina, who has character traits. And I'm going to list them all right now.
She's an art student. She's blonde.
Mm-hmm. She has a blonde niece.
She potentially, possibly had like a drug problem.
Maybe.
Maybe.
She seems nice.
Yeah.
And that's it.
She doesn't seem mean.
She doesn't seem mean. She really doesn't. Well, on that note, you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at AngelOnTopCast. You can go to angelontop.com to gain access to our Patreon, where you can support us, which is super helpful and much appreciated. You can also get ad-free episodes there, access to our side podcast, the Cole Turner podcast. It's about the main character of Charmed. Maybe you've heard of him. His name is Cole Turner. And the live watches that we do, which are very fun. You can follow me online at Lorgan Mudich, if you so choose. And you can listen to LaToya and I on The Vampire Diaries, which is our Vampire Diaries podcast, which is a real hoot, in my opinion. LaToya.
A hoot and a half, even.
Hell yeah, I'll give it that. Where can the people find you? And should they?
Follow me at LaFergs on Twitter, and then please do your best to either donate to my dog Chewy's GoFundMe, share it with all of your richest friends and family members. You know what to do.
Yes, please. Very, very important. Chewy is an important and sweet little man, and we should all take care of him.
Yes.
So until next time, you are now leaving Wolfram and Hart, and no, we don't validate.
Dream of a place called home.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of Supernatural Horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the
given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
To save yourself. house. What else would it be?
The Shared Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.